Leaders from Sweden have joined Finland in announcing plans to submit an application for NATO. Hi, welcome to Daily Comedy News. I'm Johnny Mag. You didn't expect that. Don't worry, it's set up for jokes. Stephen Colbert called the announcement good news because it's bad news for Russia. Seth Meyers said, wow, first Finland, now Sweden. Seems like every day we're learning about another country we could have sworn was already in NATO. That's good, Colbert. Finland and Sweden are very serious about making this official. They each left a toothbrush in NATO's bathroom. Colbert, one of Russia's main goals in invading Ukraine was to weaken NATO. Now the alliance is on the brink of starting its largest potential expansion in nearly two decades. How ironic. It's like that O. Henry story where the guy buys his wife combs for her hair and she joins NATO. Ricky Gervais has a new special out this week. He was on Colbert promoting it and said, smart people know you can deal with anything, particularly when dealing with something like irony. He explained he's added new material to the special, which he tried out prior to coronavirus. Colbert asked if he had to switch any of the material up after the two-year hiatus due to the pandemic. Ricky said, this comedy was always evolving. There was a thought, will this be out of date? And then I realized that when you're dealing with, you know, famine, AIDS, cancer, Hitler, those dudes are evergreen. So yeah, they're not going to, they don't date. Colbert, there's no audience that isn't going to love that. Gervais, boo, not Hitler. It was a long time ago. Like, you don't go to a Ricky Gervais concert just to feel good. They do laugh, but they know I deal with taboo subjects. But I deal with taboo subjects because I want to take the audience to a place it hasn't been before and there's a tension. Humor gets us over bad stuff. That's why I laugh about terrifying bad things. You know, that's why comedians are obsessed with death. You know, it gets us through. It's an inoculation of the real things that are going to happen. He started working on this show. It's called Supernature back in 2018. Colbert asked how long it usually takes to put together a show. Ricky, well, I do 40 or 50 or even more warm-ups, and then I go on tour, and I might do 150 gigs. So I'd done the warm-up. I started giggling at the end of 18 through 19. Then it stopped at the end of February, started again in July 21, and I finished it. I'm treating it like it's my last special ever. It won't be, but I want to put everything into it. I want to try and get canceled. Supernature, Netflix, May 24th. Pam and Angela from The Office, you know them as Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, they're out promoting their new book, The Office BFFs, Tales of the Office from Two Best Friends Who Were There. LitHub has shared a bunch of the stories. I have shared that myself on the Facebook page, Daily Comedy News Podcast Group, and on the subreddit, Daily Comedy News. I like this story from Jenna Fisher. She was talking about how everybody on the set, even if you weren't in a scene, you had to keep sitting at your desk and just kind of putz around. Steve Carell, I remember one time, after spending a particularly long time in the background, Steve came out of Michael's office and said to me, oh my gosh, I understand why Michael's always coming out of his office to chat with people. It's so lonely in there. I understood. Pam's desk was lonely too. I'd look across the room and wish I had a deskmate. I spent a lot of my background time playing Free Cell. Not that that really was any different from what I did at my day job as a real receptionist. At that time, none of the computers on the desk had internet, but they were equipped with games. This led to some pretty fierce Free Cell competitions between the cast and crew. Jenna explains, for those not familiar, Free Cell is basically solitaire, but all the cards are dealt face up. The goal is to solve the deal in as few moves as possible. Playing the game became an obsession. The crew played during breaks, and the cast played while in the background of scenes. I think Kate Flannery holds the record for all-time best score with the fewest moves, but Phyllis was also pretty darn good. Angela said, in the pilot episode, everyone in the office is worried about rumored downsizing. I had two scripted lines. I bet it's going to be me. Probably going to be me. In response, Kevin said, yeah, it'll be you. And that was it. The rest of the week, I was only in the background. That meant I had a lot of time to kill. All that downtime gave birth to Sprinkles. That's her cat on the show. What you might not know is that entire Sprinkles storyline was birthed on a single green post-it note during the pilot episode. She got bored and wrote down that she had a cat birthday coming up. I'll tell you the full story over Memorial Day weekend. Holiday filler, Johnny Mac? Yes, a holiday filler, dear listener. Shtick aside, you know, holiday weekends, it gets a little light. I already see the news has been thinning out in the last week or so. Having done this for a few years and having hosted the show on Live by Live the week after Memorial Day is usually a little bit light. And then July 4th is another lull. But this upcoming week with Ricky Gervais out on tour promoting a special, there should be plenty to talk about. Not too worried about it. The Hollywood Reporter talked to David Spade, said around the start of the pandemic, it was announced your Comedy Central show Lights Out would be ending after less than a year. Is that the kind of show you'd like to do again, David Spade? Spade said, I don't know. I like Lights Out, and I hear much about it after the fact. I don't think the people that were in place in Comedy Central would have ever canceled it. And then it switched over. A lot of things happened. They just had a different vision. It was like a new coach coming in. I understand how that works, but it was a bummer. And then you just brush off and figure out what to do next. But it's hard to do that every night. It was a little harder than it looks. And I'm trying to write bits for the ending, and I'm trying to do monologue jokes. I see why it's hard for regular talk show hosts. They're very good at it. Patton Oswalt talked about George Carlin. Again, I hope you have watched the George Carlin documentary on HBO. It is fantastic. Patton said, you have to find whatever is your true and authentic voice. People will be able to tell on stage if you're being insincere. That's so hand in hand with what Carlin was doing. Find the stuff that truly fascinates you, and then that's what you talk about. He broke through in the mainstream. He had experienced the falsity of all that because he could start speaking out against it. Comedy has the shortest shelf life of any creative endeavor. Stuff gets lost in the void. We know that deal going in. Yes, you're immediate, but very little of it lasts. What you really want to do is look at people that are moving things forward. I don't think of it as a competition. Imagine if you were in a field that you were the be-all and end-all of it, and then nothing advanced beyond you. You'd be bored out of your mind. The Guardian wrote about how much money TikTok comedians make. Okay. The subheadline, a laugh is worth 10,000 likes. The TikTok hopefuls trying to make it big in comedy. Nigel Eng says, every time I get hate on the internet, it's an opportunity to market myself. Finlay Christie says, you know, I think I might be famous in Pakistan. In 2019, Christie became the youngest winner of So You Think You're Funny, and now at 22 is honing OK Zoomer, an hour-long set ahead of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. TikTok primarily takes the form of 15 to 60 second videos. That short format has worked wonders for Christie. My video spreads to other platforms without me knowing. One got posted on Reddit, and Al Jazeera got in touch asking if they could show it. Stuff on stage has to be punchline heavy. Videos can be generally amusing. I got addicted to the app. At one point, I was spending 8 hours a day on it. The best stuff is all online because it doesn't have to be okayed by loads of different people. Stuff on stage has to be punchline heavy. The laughs have to be in an obvious place, whereas videos can be generally amusing. OK Zoomer examines his generation and, in his own words, why everyone seems so depressed and nihilistic all the time. Why wouldn't we be? We grew up accepting the world is effed. Not everyone in the industry is so excited about TikTok. I know those people. They're all old and sitting in their basement drinking iced coffee and shaking cups like losers. Writing in The Spectator, seasoned comedian Jeff Norcott, 45 years old. He argued that on Twitter, rewards are given for pithy humor and clear thinking. On TikTok, credit goes to someone nodding their head in time with their cockapoo. Stand-up comedian and GB News contributor Simon Evans, 56, he says, it's not actually been good for stand-up comedy. I think there might be the capacity for some degree of confusion or for people to be slightly deceived thinking this person's a great comedian on TikTok, and then it turns out the hour-long show isn't the greatest. I'll jump in here. You guys know what I'm going to say, right? Like, say, for example, you blew up because you pantomimed to Donald Trump videos and then Netflix gave you a special and CBS gave you a sitcom. Yeah. But for an individual's career, there's no question of its growing importance. Nigel Eng is 31, who after 10 years in comedy blew up in July 2020 after posting his first video in the character of Uncle Roger. That is a character of a man who is what I would have become if I never left Malaysia. I'm fortunate to play bigger rooms now and also perform in many more places around the world. A fun little goal would be to sell out Madison Square Garden because the initials spell out MSG, the Asian cooking ingredient. Imagine that, Uncle Roger selling out MSG. In this day and age, you can't just do stand-up anymore, says Eng. And he suggests the only thing worse than negative comments would be to receive none at all. If you're bombing on stage, people can boo you. You still have to do your time. What's the worst on the internet? The thumbs down button. That's your comedy news for today. You can follow this show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.